Good morning. We welcome you to worship at College Park. Thank you so much for braving the elements and coming to worship this morning. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that are the pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take this pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information, check the appropriate boxes. This helps us find out who is in worship today. Once you're done with it, if you could send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. And once that last person on the pew is done filling that out, if you could send it back to where it got started. We do ask, okay. I was trying to get away with not doing that. Okay, if you make me do it, I'll do it. All right. Once it gets back to that first person, the pew pads, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, that'll help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. It is Baptism and Communion Sunday. It's a great day to be here. But with that, we will not have children's time today, so make note of that. A normal youth schedule. Wednesday night classes continue this week. We have a class, the Me I Want to Be, focused primarily on parents and grandparents. The Me I Want to Be, also the Power of a Woman's Words, and the class going on in Smith Hall. Also, I have four prayer partners left, four children and youth who don't have an adult. And I'm going to be standing outside. You cannot leave the church if you do not have an envelope or you have not already picked one. We have these beautiful children that need an adult prayer partner. If you're able and willing to take them for this year and to pray for them on a regular basis, can develop a relationship with them, please see me. I'd like to finish this up today. I know some of you have still not been able to get your envelope. Today is the day. Russell Talley, you've got an announcement.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wanted to let you guys know the deacon election process begins today with nominations for deacon being open. The forms are strategically located throughout campus, and the little boxes to put them in are there as well. Please note the folks that are ineligible for various reasons, and no, I was asked, but no, we don't have a column for currently ineligible due to not being good this year. That's nominator's discretion. The nominations will be open for 2 weeks. They'll close 2 weeks from today. So, folks, it's on.
It's on. Okay. We are in the middle of our 30-day church challenge, and we have several small groups that are meeting on Sundays and throughout the week. This announcement is about tonight's small group for the 30-day church challenge, which normally meets at 5 o'clock. They will not be meeting today. David Page, as many of you probably know, or some of you may not know, passed away unexpectedly this week. And having visitation for him tonight from 5 until 7. And his service will be at 11 tomorrow? At 11 a.m. here in the sanctuary. So we want to continue to remember David's family and can continue to support and pray for them. Any other announcements? We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. They would like to give something to you. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. Our ushers will recognize you and give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the history of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship this morning, and we pray God would show up in a special way. It is good to be together. I was driving back late last night, and the rain just decided to pour down about 1:30, 2 o'clock, as you're making your way through on I-40. And it was a long day, and it was dark and rainy. And all of a sudden, we went and got Jennifer's car washed. And they put the Rain-X stuff on the windshield. That stuff is great. And you see how just something as simple as the Rain-X and the windshield wipers, and I'm reminded that even in the midst of a storm, God provides a way through it. Even in the midst of a storm, when we feel like the boat is rocking, God's nowhere to be found, He gets us through. Some in our congregation are going through these storms. God gets us through by His presence through His people. This morning, if you're in a storm, if you need to be reminded that God is with you, worship with us this morning. Will you pray with me? Father, that phrase, we are one. We are united in our belief that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Father, in this world, you have given us each other to strengthen and to encourage and to love, to be an example of Jesus to the world. That's our calling. That's our purpose. That's why you have gifted us. So even on the difficult days, help us to remember our call to be one, to rejoice together, to glorify you together. That is why we worship together in Jesus' name.
Tell you that this Sunday is one of my favorite Sundays of the year because we have an opportunity to come to the baptism waters. It's an exciting time for us. It's an exciting time for family. Our theme today in worship is growing spiritually. And what better way to celebrate that by having observance of the Lord's Supper as well as baptism. Into the waters with me today. Avi, step right back here, buddy, if you would. Avi Saba is here, as well as his cousins Jordan and Rebecca, and they wanted to come in the water together. They're growing up together. They're growing together. They made their decisions independently of one another, and I say independently. I'm not sure any of us make that decision completely independent because we have the influence of family and friends and church family, so it's a beautiful thing when they said, well, let's go in the water together, and we'll celebrate it that way. So, Jordan, we're going to start with you if you'll step right up here, honey. And I want to invite Jordan's family, those that have been involved in her Christian education through all the different small groups that she's belonged to, through choirs and discipleship and Sunday school and all those. If you would join her family in standing, please. And your mom is here, and she's going to give you a scriptural charge and a little challenge today, okay?
Jordan, I have to say that I'm so thankful that God's plan and my plan were not the same plan. Because as you know, I was surprised to find out I was having not only one, but two babies. And since you have come into our lives, you have been a blessing. Your passion for life, your commitment to the things you do, your relationship with your sister, it has just all been a blessing to us. You have such a high energy for everything, and you have no fear of sharing your belief with others. You have told your teachers, your classmates, your friends, your dance instructor, and the cashier at Lowe's about being baptized. The fact that you've been counting down this day for 3 weeks shows how ready you are for this commitment. You know your name for the Jordan River, the very powerful, life-giving river. It's the river that Jesus was baptized in. And you are just so powerful. And my prayer is that your power, you will use your power and your strength and your passion to be the best person that God intends for you to be. When I think of you, I think of Galatians 5:22. You're going to know this. It's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You excel at many of these. You are challenged by some of them. And I know that with everything, you are constantly working on being better and being stronger and growing in your faith. You have proven that you can do anything, especially this year. And I pray that that just continues in your life as you make this step.
Jordan, because you've professed Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's a pleasure, it's an honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Miss Bernice is here, and she is, Miss Bernice is here, and she's got a candle she wants to give you, and as a reminder, you'll keep that candle reminding you to let your light shine before men. This is Rebecca Sabarabiati, and I guess pretty much the same group can remain standing as your mom has a challenge for you, Rebecca.
You have such a simple and powerful faith. You are so mature for your age. Your name for Rebecca from the Bible, she was beautiful, she was hardworking, and she never avoided a challenge, and that is who you are. You follow right in the footsteps of other oldest sisters. I don't know how, but you know you're the oldest. I think of Martha and how hard she worked at everything, even to the point that maybe she sacrificed a little too much. And I think of Miriam, who kept a watchful eye over her little baby brother Moses. Your desire to be your absolute best in everything you do, which is why this decision is something that we talked about for months and months, because you wanted to make sure it was the right time. And even though my timing might not have been the same as yours, you knew when it was right. The Bible verse that I picked for you is Matthew 17:20. It's one of my favorites. It says, Jesus said to them, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and the mountain will move. May your faith grow to be strong enough to move mountains. The fact that you and your sister decided to be baptized at the same time comes as no surprise to me. You have a relationship with each other that is beyond my understanding. You both love God first and each other next. And that makes you the most powerful people I know.
Rebecca, because you've professed Christ publicly as your Lord and Savior, it's a pleasure, it's an honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Miss Janet is here, and she's going to hand you your candle, okay? This is Avi Saba, and I want to ask again, for those who have been a part of his Christian education as well as family, if you would stand now. And Avi, your mom is here, and she's got a challenge for you.
8 years ago, I was ready to be a mom, but I wasn't ready to be married and be a wife. And I prayed to God what I should do. And with his help in the movie A Christmas Child by Max Licato, I decided to adopt a child. A few short months later, I was matched with you. And I remember getting the packet, and in that packet was the most beautiful little boy I had ever seen. And I knew from that moment that you would be mine forever and would bring joy back into my life. And in that packet was a video. And I remember that video of you holding still, getting your nails trimmed. And I looked back at that video and wondered, whatever happened to that little boy since you no longer ever held still for me whenever I tried to cut your nails? And to be honest, in the past 7 years, you have been here. You've never held still. You've always been running, jumping, and smiling, the most biggest smiles I have ever seen. I've always been proud of you, like when you first rode your bike without training wheels when you were 4 years old. And I'm also so proud of you when you decided to choose Christ into your life and into your heart forever. And I want you to know that I will always love you, and that you'll always be my baby boy, no matter what, even when you're all grown up and have your own family and your own children. And I love you. I'm so proud of you.
Avi, because you've personally professed Christ as your Lord and Savior, publicly professed him. Avi, it's an honor, it's a pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Miss Leanne is here, and she's going to hand you your candle. Okay, bye. Thank you. Maybe seated. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we celebrate. We celebrate your Spirit moving in the lives of believers. We celebrate your Spirit moving in the lives of those that are being called to you. Father, we pray that we would be faithful to be the hands and feet of Christ, to extend beyond these walls and to tell people about the peace and the joy, the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would give us your courage, your strength as we tell others about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Oh, Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this great day of baptism and communion. We rejoice with Avi, Rebecca, and Jordan on their decisions to take you into their hearts and to publicly profess their faith through baptism. We praise your holy name. We also ask your blessings and your comfort to those who have lost a loved one this week. We ask that you ease their pain with the comfort of knowing that you are with them. As we go through this week, help us to grow with you each day through prayer and Bible study. We ask for your guidance and blessing in that prayer and Bible study, and help it give us a deeper understanding of the love of God through Jesus Christ. We're grateful for this opportunity to give back a portion of the financial blessings that we have received. Let these gifts be used to further glorify your name. It is in your holy name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning again, and welcome to week three of our 30-day church challenge. We committed a couple weeks ago to be together and worshiping together, and I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad you took that commitment seriously to come and be a part of us. I hope that you're enjoying our 30-day church challenge, and today we'll learn what the challenge for the week is. But before we get to that, let's remind ourselves that we're here. We're talking about the purposes of the church. Today we'll be talking about spiritual growth, and our foundational passage, as we've read in the previous weeks, is Acts chapter 2. So again, I want to invite you, if you have your Bible with you, to turn to Acts chapter 2. If not, there should be a pew Bible there, or if you just want to kind of listen, kind of hear it with new ears, that's great too. But in Acts chapter 2, beginning again in verse 42, it reads, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Let's remind ourselves the first church was committed to authentic community. Verse 44, they had everything in common. The first church knew how to worship. Verse 47 says they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. But they also had another important habit. In verse 42, if you'll look at that, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And you would say, well, why would they do that? Why would you devote yourself to teaching? Because you want to grow. Because you want to learn. You want to grow from what you learn. And today that's what we're going to talk about, spiritual growth. Last week we looked at Romans 12, verse 1, as we were talking about worship, where Paul says, in a paraphrase, based on all the incredible things that God's done for you, based on what He's done for you, the only logical response is to present your bodies, your whole self, to Him as a living sacrifice. And we talked about what it meant to be a living sacrifice. And Paul goes on to say, this is your true and proper act of worship. So today, it was funny because after the service last week, someone said, why'd you stop with verse 1? My favorite's verse 2. And I said, hang on, be patient. It'll be all right. We'll get to it next week, and we are indeed getting to it this week. From Romans chapter 12, we've done a synopsis of verse 1. Pick up with verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Life is about growing. And growing is about transformation. It's about something that we're not, moving from something that we're not to something that we should be. You see, growing is about transformation according to this verse. So what is it that we should be? If we acknowledge that we're moving from something that we aren't to something that we should be, what is it that we should be? Well, first of all, know that we're never going to be all grown up, okay? Just acknowledge that. Not this side of heaven. We're always going to be growing in our spiritual walk. But Paul says in Romans 8:29 that we're supposed to be conformed to the image of God's Son. You go, wait a minute, we got transformed, now we got conformed. In Romans 12, he says we're supposed to be transformed. So what's this deal? Well, follow me here. To be transformed is to have our form changed. Trans means change. So change our form. To be conformed is to have our form changed with another. Con meaning with, okay? So the goal of our growth is to be changed to conform to the shape or the image of God's Son, to think and act like Jesus. Now, what was Jesus like? What was He like? If we call ourselves Christians, Christ ones, which incidentally enough was a derogatory term used by the Roman Empire initially, those Christ ones, we need to get a hold of those Christ ones, okay? But it's a term now that we hold proudly. But if we claim to be Christ ones, if we claim to be Christians, what are we supposed to act like? Well, obviously we're supposed to act like Christ, but what did he act like? Well, I'll tell you, he acted like he was a man on a mission. He was the Son of God on a mission. He thought like one sent from God. He acted like the Son of God. He acted like a servant of all people. So if we say we want to be like him, that's what we should be growing toward. Others seeing Christ in us. I'll give you an analogy. When you grow as a football player, you learn to run better, to tackle better, to read defenses better. When you grow as a Christian, you should learn to believe better, hope better, trust better, love better. And as you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, you should believe less of what Oprah says and more of what God says, okay? Fair enough? That should be our goal. We should become less a taker and more a giver. Your life becomes less about you and more about others. That's what we should be doing. And none of this happens overnight. We acknowledge that. It's a process. It's an ongoing process. That's why Paul says in this verse, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He didn't say not renewed. He said the renewing, not a one-time deal, but all the time. By what you put in your mind, you should be renewed. So what are you looking at? What are you watching? What are you hearing? What are you talking about? Paul says, be transformed by the ongoing renewal of your mind. Your goal is to step up to spiritual growth by committing to taking one step at a time, and it starts by renewing your mind. Throughout history, Christians have discovered that certain habits practiced repeatedly over and over lead to spiritual transformation. It's a pattern. You can go back and read the early church fathers. It was going on then. They were struggling, even a generation following what we read about in Acts, they were struggling with how to continually be spiritually transformed. And what we learned last week and what we see in the early writings is there was a strong emphasis on worship together. We talked about that last week, okay? Coming to church, worshiping together, kind of resets our priorities. After what we're bombarded with during the week, it's an opportunity to help us to understand what's truly important. But there's other things that help with that as well. A fundamental step, I believe, is regular Bible study. This book, God's Word, contains pure truth. Now, there's other writings, there's other books, there's other magazines that may have partial truth, may have some truth and some distortions of the truth, but this is pure truth. You can count on it. It's God's Word. Everything that God says is true. Everything He says about life is true. Everything it says about you and I is true. So when you read this book, it helps you to think more accurately, to see the world more precisely, to understand God's will more clearly. Pure and simple. The more accurate, precise, and clear your thinking is, the more mature you're going to become. Now, there are many steps to take. Another step is prayer. Prayer helps renew your mind. So does being in a small group. Sharing your faith forces your mind to be renewed because you have to be clear on what's true sometimes in order to share it with others. All of these things are rolled into our 30-day challenge. And by the end of this thing, hopefully we can look back and go, wow, you know, we've made some serious, serious, wonderful steps toward growing together, maturing together, personally and corporately. Now, your challenge this week, I know you're dying to know what it is, your challenge this week is to grow, pure and simple. If you're involved in one of the 30-day challenge groups, either in Sunday school or the groups at night, you know, the book that you have will help you with that, the 30-day challenge book. But I want to give you something else. I want to give you something else to allow you to grow. Think about it this way. If you're reading God's Word, well, let's start basic. Let's assume that you're not really reading God's Word daily. You're not spending time in prayer with God. That's the challenge for you today. And keep it simple. Keep it simple. Start with maybe 3 to 5 minutes of reading in God's Word, and then 2 or 3 minutes of talking to God. Read God's Word, and then if something strikes you, something resonates, talk to Him about it. Talk with Him about it. But then listen as well. listen not only to the Spirit of God within you, but listen with spiritual eyes as He reveals Himself in Scripture. So that's the challenge. If you're not spending time in God's Word daily, do it for 21 days. They tell us that if you do anything for 21 days in a row, it will become a habit. And in this particular case, a wonderful habit. Okay, so pledge with me. If you're not reading every day, let's start doing it. 21 days in a row and see what happens. Now, if you are reading God's Word, well, let me back up one more time. If you are not reading, let me make a suggestion. Start in Luke. If you'll read Luke and then John, you'll get, between those two books, you'll get pretty much every story that we know about Jesus that's recorded here. And then just keep going. Keep going all the way through the New Testament. Now, granted, in 21 days, you probably won't get through with the whole New Testament, but you might. But read through and see what's going on. Now, if you are a regular Bible study person, let me challenge you in this way. Go a little bit deeper. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, maybe read a little bit more. Maybe journal a little bit more. Maybe track your prayer requests and the things that you ask God. Kind of track those and see how He's answering those. And then share that with other people. That's a challenge for you. Now, for both groups, whether you're in the group that is going to start fresh and new, or whether you're the group that's just going to go a little bit deeper, understand, especially if you're a newcomer, when you start an exercise program, you don't start with 2 hours of weightlifting the first day, do you? What'll happen if you do? There won't be a day two. There will not be a day two of exercise. Okay? So keep it in bite-sized pieces, and as you grow and become to hunger and thirst after God's Word, He'll gauge you through it. It's amazing. You'll find out that God is going to walk you through this process. And one more principle. As you're growing, remember what's the purpose of growth. We talked about this Wednesday night. We talked about it, and let me share it with you because it's important to understand. We grow so that we can reproduce. Okay? As believers, we grow so that we can reproduce. A mature plant bears fruit. A mature human being bears fruit. And Jesus addressed this in John chapter 15. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory. Notice it didn't say it was our glory. It's not about us. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We were born to reproduce. We grow so we can reproduce. Jesus calls it bearing fruit. And we can only bear fruit if we remain in Him. That's what He says. Don't try to make it harder than it is. Don't try to make it easier than it is. He said, if you remain in Him, you bear fruit. It means if we spend time with Him in His Word and talking with Him, we remain rooted in Him. And whose glory is it? His glory. It's God's glory. So repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I want to grow. This week, I will renew my mind more than I ever have before. I will attend a small group. I will spend time with you in the Bible and in prayer. And I'll show up here next week and worship you well. In Jesus' name, amen. That's your covenant before God. I'll be praying for you. You be praying for me. We'll work this out together with God's help. Amen. We're going to go now to the Lord's table, because as we ask God for His help, we recognize it's only through the power and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that we're able to gather together and worship as people who have hope. So as we go to the table now, I want to say a word. We practice open communion. What this means is if you're a believer, we invite you to have communion with us. Whether you're a member of this church or not does not matter. It's about fellow believers gathering around the table and celebrating the Lord's sacrifice for us. The first step in growing in your relationship with Christ is to know Christ. It's important for us to acknowledge who He is and the nature of His sacrifice. Sometimes we take it for granted, but we pause on a day like today to really acknowledge the fact that His body was broken for us. And He said, as He met with His disciples, he was trying to help them understand what was going to happen. He said, you know, take and eat. Take and eat. And so we do the same. But as we do it, acknowledge who He is. Perhaps one of the most radical things that Jesus said that night as He gathered with His disciples is that the cup, His blood, would be a new covenant, a new arrangement, new opportunity for forgiveness and relationship, because we were created to have relationship with the God who created us. And He arranged that through the sacrifice of His Son. Take and drink. Anytime we have baptism, anytime we have communion together, it's an opportunity for us to reflect. And I invite you to take with me your covenant of new believers that's printed there in your order of service. As new believers profess their faith, it's an opportunity for us to renew and to remind ourselves of what we believe and the basis for our hope. We'll read this responsibly. I'll read the light print if you'll join me. In the dark print. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father,
creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
In Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Christian church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers for each other and these new believers?
I will, without exception.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
I will, without exception.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ and be faithful to pray for those who are lost?
I will.
Will you seek and serve Christ by ministering to all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, without exception.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will, without exception.
These things we covenant together before God. Amen. We're going to stand in just a moment and sing a hymn. It's a hymn of commitment. It's a hymn of opportunity. If you're here this morning and you do not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is a chance for you to come. I'll be glad to talk with you, share how you can have a relationship with Him. If you don't want to come down here, I'll be glad. I'll be glad to talk with you this week. Just give me a call. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I'm a believer, But boy, I'm really struggling, and I want you to pray for me as I try to get deeper in God's Word and talk with Him and kind of express more of the purposes of why we're here. I'll be glad to talk with you. You can square that away with God wherever you are, you can pray and talk with Him about that. But I'll be glad to help you if I can with that. If you're here this morning, you say, I'd like to be a part of this church in a formal fashion. We do receive members. I'd be glad to talk with you about the many ways that we do that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Be seated for just a moment. Rebecca, Jordan, Avi, if you all would come up here. Jeff's going to help me here, and we're going to give you your certificate of baptism. It's for you, Avi. Avi, come stand right here, buddy. There you go. And Rebecca, and Jordan, and then your Bibles, Avi. We talked about studying Bible, right? Reading the Bible. So there's a new Bible for you to read from. And Rebecca, and Jordan. And we're going to ask you to come by after the benediction. And as Avi says, this is the part where we get more hugs, right? He's pretty excited about that. And I'm excited for them. Ask parents if y'all come up and stand with them too. Y'all come by and greet them and give them some more hugs, all right? Would you stand with me for our benediction? Gracious Father, thank you for this day. It's been a day of celebration. It's been a day of worship of you. Father, we thank you for that chance to be here. We thank you for these young lives and the important decisions that they're making each day. We pray that you be with each one of us as we go from here. Give us a desire to know you more intimately and to serve you more completely. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Touches earth with you. concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.